Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with chronic pain and fibromyalgia. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content-dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purpose of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. Helplessness. On this track, we will examine three concepts related to helplessness. These three concepts related to helplessness include humility versus humiliation, catastrophizing, and asserting independence. The first concept related to helplessness is humility versus humiliation. Have you found, like I, that many clients suffering from chronic pain feel a sense of humiliation when asking for help? In the case of dependence, many once independent clients begin to feel embarrassed about asking for help because of their condition. They feel guilty for placing their burden on another's shoulders, and they also feel a drop in self-esteem at losing their individuality. However, I try to reverse this concept and reframe it as a positive attribute to admit weakness. In short, I turn humiliation into humility. Viewed in this way, clients begin to feel more comfortable about needing the help of another. Stacy, age 21, had been debilitated by her fibromyalgia. She stated, "I used to be a cross-country runner. I loved that sport. I used to run from work to home again. I've never needed a car. Now, I have to ask my roommate to drive me to work every morning because walking is too painful. Everyone used to admire me for my strength, and now I have to put my tail between my legs and beg for their help." I stated, "Did you really have to beg to get their help? Being such a strong personality before is quite a difficult task, but an even more difficult one is admitting you need help. Exposing your vulnerability doesn't make you any less of a person. In fact, not admitting your limits only exhibits stubbornness, not willpower. Knowing what's best for your body and taking steps to secure its health reveals a person who respects herself." Think of your Stacy. How would you address his or her humiliation? How would you change humiliation to humility? The second concept related to helplessness is catastrophizing. As we discussed in Track 3, catastrophizing is a type of negative automatic thought which causes the client to believe that their pain has ended their life as they know it. Ultimately, the catastrophizing client has given up hope for a normal and happy life within the confines of his or her disease. This mindset directly relates to the client's inability to help him or herself. As the client reduces his or her self-reliance and intake of activities, he or she may envision life itself slipping away. For many clients, this vision becomes seemingly unbearable, and such phrases as, "I can't go on living like this," and "my life is over," become common. Susie, age 48, had developed rheumatoid arthritis in both her hands. As a tailor, Susie prided herself on her work, but because of her pain, she had to quit the job she loved so much. With that, she lost close friends and a source of income. Susie stated, "I'm alone and unemployed. What am I going to do? I'll never be able to retire, and I'll be working for the rest of my life just to make ends meet." Susie had begun to exaggerate her position. Her husband, Jeff, had just been promoted to a more lucrative position in his company, so Susie could live comfortably without having to work. She stated, "It doesn't matter. I've been financially self-supported all my life, and I won't start accepting money now." Jeff, eager to help his wife in her time of need, was hurt by Susie's refusal of his support. To help Susie feel less helpless, I suggested she try a profession which did not require extensive use of her hands. One of her friends owned a restaurant and offered Susie a job as a hostess. The use of her hands was limited, minimizing the pain she felt, and she received a great deal of satisfaction from being employed once again. Think of your Susie. How could you alleviate his or her catastrophizing? Many clients have difficulty asking for help while at the same time maintaining a degree of self-worth. Also, they do not wish to place their burdens on others. To help clients like Stacy and Susie ask for help, I suggested they try asking yourself for help. This technique involves standing in front of a full-length mirror and practicing a help speech. The help speech includes asking for assistance and also provides specific tasks that the other person would need to perform in order to aid the client. This is a simple practice exercise to help these clients form the words they will use when asking another person. Stacy stated, "It was more effective practicing with a person in front of me, so when I asked my roommate, I was much less intimidated." Think of your chronic pain client. Does he or she need to ask for help? In addition to humility versus humiliation and catastrophizing, the third concept related to helplessness is asserting independence. Although many clients must resign themselves to a dependent life, I believe that if a balance between reliance and independence can be reached, it aids the feelings of helplessness the client is experiencing. The independence is a new kind of independence, one which involves menial tasks, but tasks that the client lays out for him or herself. Peggy, age 71, could not walk without pain after her hip shattered. Peggy stated, "Everyone wanted to do things for me. They cooked me dinner, brought me my paper, took me to the bathroom. I love my family dearly, but they are driving me up the wall. I felt like I had completely lost control of my household." To help Peggy regain her independence, I asked that she write a list of activities she could do herself, which included making phone calls, mending clothes, and writing letters to friends and family. I told Peggy to attach this list to the refrigerator with a heading in bright, big letters that said, "Peggy's Chores." In this way, her family could still help her with more physical chores, but at the same time respected her decision to remain independent in some degree. Think of your Peggy. In what way could he or she assert his or her independence? On this track, we discussed three concepts related to helplessness. These three concepts related to helplessness included humility versus humiliation, catastrophizing, and asserting independence. On the next track, we will examine three concepts related to self-victimization. These concepts related to self-victimization include sense of betrayal, projections, and resentment. Question 8. What are three concepts related to helplessness?